Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show.
Show. That was used to be for the episode number, but we haven't done episode numbers in a while.
Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
We are back after a very long hiatus. We are recording this in December. You will not hear this until January. But, you didn't
I didn't slurp it.
That's unfortunate. Right off the bat, if you don't want to hear about what Cameron and I have been up to for the last, 8 months, turn this off right fucking now.
Because there won't be. Well, that's one thing I've been up to. the puppy is currently mauling Mike, and it's glorious.
Pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't like me talking, huh?
This is gonna be her thing, maybe.
I mean, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
I just don't want her to nip you, you know.
She got my face a little, but that's okay. It wasn't like I'm gonna fuck you up. It was more like, hi, I want to taste you a little.
Yeah, yeah. It's all in love. There it is again. So
she'll be fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, we won't be talking about Marvel movies so much.
Yeah, not today.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of... Oh, maybe a little bit. Did you see Doctor Strange?
No, okay. I want to. I've seen very little, so...
Okay, because that was going to be a question. What have you seen?
What have I seen? Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, well, I'm still decidedly outside of the
Harry Potter fandom.
Whatever the target market is for that.
Okay.
My wife did a whole bunch of Harry Pottering over October. She went to Harry Potter World with one of her friends. And so when they got back, they marathoned the movies.
Wow.
And so I watched maybe a third of them, of little pieces of each movie.
Oh, okay. So you did get to see, bits of all of them.
Yeah, and I think so. Again, I get confused. I'm always seeing it and is this Prisoner of the Philosopher's Stone? Just purposely being kind of an idiot, but also not knowing what's going on. So I feel like there's some... I keep seeing that scene of Dumbledore drinking the thing he doesn't want to drink.
No.
Please, no.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I've probably seen that 10 times. But then, the second or third movie, I probably haven't seen but a few minutes of. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, still not into it.
Fantastic Beasts seemed like a decent movie, but as far as the lore and the universe, I just don't know if I'll ever get into it.
That's weird.
What about you? What have you seen?
Oh, man. I've seen a lot.
What do you look at?
What do I do? What have I been up to? I saw a movie called Trash Fire by the guy who did Excision, Richard Bates Jr. That's probably my top movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there with, Green Room as, my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while, so I saw Don't Breathe, which is another one of my top movies of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The dog likes Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe.
That's the one with the blind guy.
Yeah. And that
it
was
looked
great.
Good.
I don't want this to change, because I like the challenge of dealing with a puppy while also recording a podcast.
Oh, yeah. This She's a big... Just to give the listeners at home a kind of a visual... she's a 4-month-old 40-pound puppy.
She's huge.
Yeah.
Storm, is that right?
Storm.
Who came up with the name?
Stephanie and I, that was the one we were both agreed was
okay.
A pretty cool name.
Was there ever any Lord of the Rings names thrown around?
I don't think so. I would have gone with Shadowfax had that been the case.
Oh, that would have been good.
And I could constantly say show us the meaning of haste, but... there's going to be a lot of Lords of the Ringsing today.
Yeah. Also, over when the show comes back, when you finally hear this, there'll be some Lord of the Rings stuff coming out. Storm is what you settled on. I like it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and also, did you watch C-Lab 2021?
Yeah,
of course. Character Stormy.
Oh,
and I always
yeah.
thought Stormy was a cool name. So
hey,
when we first got her. I called her Stormy for a little while, and finally just went to Storm. So,
Trash Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Trash Fire is an insane movie.
Yeah, it sounds insane. Sounds like a what's the guy that did Gummo?
Harmony Korine.
It sounds like something he would do.
It's like a it's almost like a Harmony Korine horror movie. the dog wants to be part of this podcast so bad. Yeah, it's like a Harmony Korine horror movie. It has like weird John Waters stuff in it and weird like family drama stuff. But man, I've never been more uncomfortable watching a movie. Mm-hmm. Like it just, and not in a way that it like, not in the way that it like, not like a Serbian film or like one of those kind of like extreme films.
Yeah.
This was like normal, not normal, but I mean, it was like real shit that could happen to real people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was really hard. It was a hard movie. I've watched it 3 times now. And yeah, between that and Green Room, I think they're my 2 favorite movies of the year.
Yeah.
Don't Breathe was really good. Yeah, I've seen it. I did see Doctor Strange, which I loved. I think it's maybe my 2nd or 3rd favorite Marvel movie now.
Yeah.
What
would be your number one?
Iron Man, the original Iron Man.
Okay.
Yep. I think that that one has just got all the heart.
We are
going to
talk Marvel movies. Just,
I know, we can't help it. So yeah, there's like a ton of stuff, but we'll probably do some sort of year-end thing soon. Mm-hmm. So I won't talk too much about it. Have you watched anything on TV? There's been a lot of new shows and stuff.
I want to say yes, but I'm not.
Have you done Westworld at all?
No. Okay. I've heard Westworld's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I finally got around to watching a little bit of Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was depressing.
I mean, I've watched the first 2 seasons. I have not watched the 3rd yet.
Yeah. So, we just got into the 2nd season. So, we're a couple years behind everybody else. But the way we do it is it's our Sunday night routine to catch an episode of Black Mirror, then move on to like 5 episodes of Parks and Rec just to kind
to
of
balance it out.
Even out the mood. Yeah. It's one of those Netflix shows that I'm like, somebody has binged this and I don't understand how.
Yeah. I mean, when I was watching it, we would only do an episode at a time. I mean, because number one, they're almost feature length. I mean, they're long.
Yeah. Yeah. They're 45, 50 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, beyond that, I mean, it's heavy, heavy material. I mean, the first episode it's a pig fucker episode, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fucking way to start. Like,
yeah. It feels very, 1984, not in the Big Brother is watching you kind of thing, but the human race is garbage kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's British on top of that.
Right.
So,
they're pretty in tune with, oh my God, puppy love. They're pretty in tune with knowing, hey, we're not good as people. Here's why.
Right.
In a way that is, you can understand it little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody's been talking about season 3. I haven't touched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's becoming, I mean, obviously with the age of the internet and everything. Oh, I know one thing we have to talk about.
Okay.
But at the age of the internet and everything, it's very difficult to stay away from anything. Like, mm-hmm. about, you know, like, I mean, I know everything that happens in Black Mirror, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, like, there's things about that I still want to watch. You know, like, I mean, I still feel like it's compelling television.
Right.
Comparatively, when The Walking Dead premiere happened, that was spoiled, even though I haven't really been watching it. That was spoiled for me right away.
Yes, same.
What did you think of it?
Haven't seen it.
What?
Yeah.
You're a watcher. You watched the show.
Yeah. I'm a watcher.
Stop it.
I don't know. yeah, Stephanie and I, when we saw I think maybe we talked about this. I can't remember the last time we had a podcast, honestly.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while.
Stephanie and I had just had a conversation. We were like, we might be done. Like, mm-hmm. It got to the point where I was like, I don't think I care who dies.
Right.
And at that point, yeah, I mean, it's a long show. The idea of sitting down to watch all these shows, plus the commercials if we're watching it live,
right,
is not super appealing, just because I feel like the last season had gotten to the point where I just felt weird, and I wasn't super interested. But it was spoiled for me because I was part of this group on Facebook called Practical Effects Group, and they just posted stuff from, you know, The Thing or whatever.
But then they posted all the makeup.
And then they posted Glenn's head, and I'm like, Sorry if I just spoiled it for somebody. But posted Glenn's head. And I was like, okay, you guys are stupid, whatever. And the more I thought about it, the more I just wasn't interested in watching it.
Right.
But then I got on the AMC app and watched like the first 20 minutes. And then still had no like desire to finish it.
Right.
So since then, I'm pretty much off
the train. Did both deaths happen within the first 20 minutes? I can't remember.
No. Glenn apparently dies later. I did not see it. I kind of want to see the effect.
It's disgusting. I mean, it's really gruesome. I was kind of in the camp of, as somebody who hasn't been watching the show, I just felt like it was really exploitative and really gross. And
I think this could be the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Well, and their viewership keeps dropping off. So, you know, I just don't think it's compelling television anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So watched. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next couple weeks. Probably the first thing we'll release will be this and maybe like a year end thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what else has been going on? Well, I know the biggest thing maybe for you was the album dropped. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It took a while and it took some doing, but we finally finished up the thing.
Mad Gear has their album. It is available on Bandcamp currently.
Yep. And there's also hard copies if people are interested. But we started in November of 2015 and finished it in, like, July or something.
But you did all the recording, right?
Yeah, the band. We as a band did it, yeah.
And who did all the mastering and everything?
Chris, the sax player, a.k.a. Rex Skeleton, did pretty much handled all of it. He engineered it. He recorded it and mixed and mastered.
Yeah.
So he did pretty much the entire thing.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definitely, I mean, we kind of produced it as a band to kind of get the vibe that we all wanted, but Chris definitely did all the heavy lifting.
So what's the next thing then? What's the next step?
We keep kind of going back and forth on that. We've had a couple of Street Fighter tunes worked up for a while, Ken's theme and Guile's theme, and the idea is to record those within the next month or so and do like a little, almost a single situation where you've just got two songs, a double, and kind of go from there. But also just want to experiment with a few video things and just kind of throw some stuff at the wall and see what sticks as far as viewership and response, fan response or whatever.
Fan response has been pretty good from what I've seen, right? I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, we've got a decent, I mean, it's just one of those things that's, I'm just being patient, trying to be patient and slowly build it, but we've got, you know, a decent amount of subscribers on YouTube and that kind of thing. It's nothing to brag about or anything,
right.
But there are people, you know, watching it outside of our parents.
Well, I mean, as a project that, you know, you had a lot of passion about. I mean, is that passion still there for it? Is it become work? Has it, is it still exciting for you?
Well, anything you want to try to do well is going to be work on some level.
Yeah.
And there are parts of it that feel like work, but that's more of the administrative logistical part of it.
Right.
Like, how are we going to get everybody to this spot?
Sure.
How are we going to do this? It's never like, oh, I got to go play. I'm not detail oriented, so figuring out, like, you know, how to get merch up on Bandcamp and stuff like that is not the most fun thing in the world to me. But I'm never at the point where I'm like, okay, it's about time to, you know, quit this band because I'm sick of doing it or anything like that. It's not at all.
Has it met your expectations for what you wanted originally?
Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes you can always, any project, you can make it out to be something that could never be. Like, there's, I'm sure you know as well as anybody else, there's sometimes you can imagine completing a thing or starting a project or whatever it might be, and you're like, oh, it's going to fulfill me creatively in every possible way.
Right.
And that's not necessarily how it goes. But that being said, I haven't been, like, disappointed by you know, any kind of response that we've gotten, sure, or my, like I said, my own personal creative fulfillment. So I've gotten out of it so far what I've hoped to, and that's just paying tribute to the music and having a lot of fun doing it and becoming a better musician and all that kind of stuff.
So. Cool. Well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, and now, naturally, we need to lead into what you've been doing.
Oh, man.
So that, I mean, it's been intense.
Yeah, the last few months have been crazy.
Mm-hmm. Just puppy stuff.
Yeah, so I directed a production of Evil Dead the Musical.
Mm-hmm. A live little theater production.
Yep. We did 9 shows over a month, the month of October, mm-hmm, the second, third, and fourth weekends of October. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really difficult.
What would you say, first of all, when you started the process, did you think it was going to be the hardest thing you'd ever done?
No. Okay. Well, because I thought there's got to be some crossover with film.
Mm-hmm.
And there is in some respects, but it is a different world. It's a different language. And it's different personalities. Like the personality types that I had to deal with a lot of the time were very unlike any personality type I had to deal with on a film set.
Uh-huh.
My
theater kids.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. So, like, my cast, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
Zero, like, actual problems with them. Of course, you have, like, as a director, you have to deal with the things, like, interpersonally that come up. And, you know, the things that they're dealing with become your problems, you know. But not in such a way that it didn't.
We got a little squeaky puppy.
just so ready to share the squeak. But, yeah, not so much that it didn't make my relationship with them difficult.
Uh-huh.
There were other things within the production that made my life very difficult.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know this about me, probably, as somebody who's worked with me. I can micromanage sometimes, mm-hmm, and I, you know, I mean, I want everything done right, so sure. I, you know, like...
For what it's worth... For all your faults, I'm placing my hand on Mike's knee.
And
I've never thought micromanaging was one of them.
Oh, good.
And I say that in jest. I've never thought, when I worked with you, I've never thought you were trying to, like, be too, I don't know, look over my shoulder-y,
sure,
about stuff.
Well, it's the thing of, like, I try to, people who I'm working with, and the same is true of Evil Dead, by and large, is that I was trying to work with people who I knew could do the job.
Mm-hmm.
It still didn't change the fact that I had to do, like, most of the effects stuff, and on top of, you know, figuring out where a lot of the money was going to come from, and, you know, and just, I mean, the daily problems, the hourly problems of, mm-hmm, of the show. There was a lot of stuff that I just can't, you know, get into, obviously, yeah. But, I mean, there was a ton that was just, like... You know, I mean, it was mostly because of people that there were problems, you know,
sure.
And I mean, as a lot of things go, but I worked with Radical Arts, which is Seth Limbaugh's production, company, his theatrical company. And Seth was the director last time, and he was also my assistant this time. And he was great to work with. He and I, our relationship was wonderful. His whole, you know, team is really great. And the little theater was a great space to be in. I mean, that the set looked incredible, you know,
yeah,
the everything. I mean, the choreo, every part of it came together in such a wonderful, weird, bloody way.
And having seen it, I can agree that it worked really well in the venue. I mean, just to paint a picture for you guys, the little theater it's exactly that. How many do you think it seats?
It does seat up to like 70.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's little, and right. But the I will say the set did look like it had a lot of love put into it.
Yeah.
And a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And everything about the performance, I thought was pretty spot on. And especially having seen it on a night where a lot of the actors afterwards were saying, oh, this is kind of an off night or whatever. I was that much more impressed because I was like, well, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, the night that you saw it was probably our worst night. Which, again, something we noticed that nobody else does, you know.
Sure.
But there were, you know, that's hard because with film, it's like you're shooting it and you always get the best take.
Right.
It's not like that with theater, you know. Yeah. Like you there's so many variables that anything could fuck up, and that is just so stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were just, much like Devilcock, I mean, there were a billion things that just, like, kept going wrong.
Right.
It was just like, this can't be real. Like, this cannot be possible. Everything came together. I got really lucky with my actors. The people who auditioned, I mean, they were, everybody, when they auditioned, I pretty much, like, was making a list of who I thought should play who, and it was pretty much everybody who eventually, you know, played those parts.
Right.
We had three returning cast members from the first production we did, and then a bunch of wonderful new people, and just all of them insanely talented. Our youngest cast member was 16, and mm-hmm. I mean, the talent was just insane. I mean, I couldn't...
It has an oozing quality.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I couldn't have, like, for my first theatrical directing thing, I got off really easy just because of how good my cast was.
Right.
So, like, with them, I mean, there were definitely jokes and stuff and, like, direction that I was able to give that improved the show as a whole, but it was for performance reasons, they pretty much nailed everything. I mean, it was, they knew their characters and I just guided them, you know. I didn't have to do any heavy lifting as far as that stuff went. So.
Yeah. And I mean, enough can't be said of front of the show, Ryan Dillinger. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
If y'all have heard any of our Castlevania stuff, he plays Simon.
Yeah.
And does a great job doing it. But if you can imagine him as Ash, I mean, it's just the same, but with a lot more of that Ash energy. You know?
Yeah, he just brings, even more than last time, he just brought such a professionalism and level of quality. I mean, it was nuts. Like, he just really brought it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped everybody else too. And they all pushed each other, you know. I mean, it wasn't, you know, if one person wasn't feeling it, I mean, they, you know, it was help each other and get, you know. And I've never, the one thing I can say that it ended up being similar to, there was a lot of camaraderie like there is on a film set.
Right.
I mean, these are the people that you end up spending a lot of time with and hanging out with outside of, you know, outside of
there
rehearsals.
She is.
And it was like, I mean, it's like a second family, you know.
Yeah.
And those are people that I want to work with on other things and, you know, want to bring them into film stuff. And they were great. So yeah, overall a really wonderful process. I don't know that I'll do it again soon, because it, you know.
Do you just mean theater in general, or Evil Dead, or something that effect heavy?
I think theater in general. I mean,
like, would you do the Glass Menagerie?
No, and the reason being, though, is because there's a ton of stuff that I have no interest in doing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not a theater director, and I'm not, like, trying to make my living doing it, so it's not like I have to, you know, take jobs or take shows that I don't want to do. So I can pitch shows to, like, Radical Arts and be like, hey, I would really love to do this. And then, you know, they can say, oh yeah, we could try to get that going, or you know, no, we're not really interested, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But there's like five or six shows that I would love to do.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see what next year brings. I mean, there might be
well, what would be some of the other shows?
I really want to do the Toxic Avenger musical.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a big one that I think would be a lot of fun. We would need a bigger stage than the little theater.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, like, classic stuff I'd like to do. I would really love to do a production of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
Would really love to do a production of Little Shop of Horrors. There's a few plays. There's one called The Flick, which takes place as though the audience is in the position of a movie theater screen.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking, like, from that position at an empty movie theater auditorium. Oh. And it's about, like, the crew coming in and cleaning up after shows and, like, their relationships and things like that. Mm. I think that one would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then there's one, the name escapes me, but it is about a girl whose sister dies and she finds a Dungeons and Dragons campaign that her sister wrote, and she learns about her sister through this campaign. And so like there's monsters and shit in it. And
oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I mean, there's stuff that I definitely would like to do. But it just kind of depends on a lot of different things. I would like to do something a little heavier, truthfully. I mean, I would like to, you know, because like seeing, not doing a comedy, you know, there's, if your actors have good timing, the rest is, you know, done for you.
Right.
But with drama, getting, working with an actor in that way is a little more fulfilling to me.
Yeah.
So being able to work with them on something, you know, just like a smaller play would be really great.
Yeah.
There's been a few adaptations of Misery that just as a two-person stage thing that I think would be really cool.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis actually just did one on Broadway.
Oof, yeah, okay.
Right? Isn't that weird?
As the Kathy Bates character.
Right. Yeah. And Steve Buscemi was the author character.
Beautiful.
It was weird. But yeah, man, it's a world that I would love to explore because it continues to challenge you as like a creative and like a director. I mean, like, you know, I learned a lot about everything. So
what would you say is the biggest unexpected difference transitioning from film to theater?
Personalities. Yeah, because it's not anything against any of my cast or crew. But there's just a lot of, like, you have to handle people differently.
Right.
And I think maybe it's the time, like, because you have so much more time with a stage production, and with a film, you know, you've had production time, but once you're on set, like, it's go. Go. We got to get this shot.
Uh-huh.
There's not necessarily that kind of thing until the day of, you know, so every problem that arose, you had to take care of right then.
Right.
And, you know, with a film, it's like, well, let's get through this shoot and we'll figure it out.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that was just all of the little problems, and you know, you're just trying to balance it all. I mean, because at that point, yeah, it does become a director, you know, thing. I mean, Seth could only handle so much, and
right.
Seth really hurt his knee like 3/4 of the way through the production, so he was kind of
stepping in a pothole.
No.
Okay.
No, he was actually. It was just from like he's got a knee condition in anywhere, a bone condition, and yeah, he was just he was actually at home and just walked the wrong way. And he just got out of surgery the other day. But it kind of put him out of commission.
Yeah, and the reason I asked that has nothing to do with Seth.
Right.
It has everything to do with the night I came to see the show. You were coming up to, walking up to me and rolled your ankle in a pothole on the lawn. So, yeah.
That was just another thing to add. Mm-hmm. And I just laid on my back for the next 20 minutes while people hovered over me. Right. And, like, I gave them things to do.
Right.
Like, I still had to be director.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting. It was really fun, though, because, like, I mean, the blood was so much bigger than it was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I maintain that it is probably one of the bloodiest productions of the show that's ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
I had pressurized fire extinguishers full of blood. So, right. And just all of the little gags and the masks and everything. I think everything looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
It looked like we had a much higher budget than we did.
Yeah. Yeah. I can attest to that.
Which I'm eternally grateful for everybody who provided those things and, for everybody's hard work. I mean, it was everything that I wanted it to be, you know? There were only a couple of things that I didn't get to accomplish, and it was just because I was pulled in every direction. I probably would have gotten the chance to finish the two or three things I didn't finish. But it was just, you know, for what we had, we accomplished more than, you know, anyone could have expected.
Right.
We sold out every night. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Take your sip.
I'm going to take my
proud sip guy. well, I don't want to speak too soon, but maybe I guess there's a possibility the video could make it online at some point. I don't know if there's any, if y'all are keeping that private or not.
Well, there's like rights stuff that we have to be careful of because they'll come back on Radical Arts for that. Uh-huh. But if anybody wants to see it, you know, they can.
Yeah.
They can always
DM me.
Yeah, yeah. Slide in my DMs.
Yeah.
Such a gross phrase.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been the big thing. Doing a lot of writing.
Yeah.
Can't really talk about that yet.
But Bethlehem.
Bethlehem blew up, didn't it? Yeah, Bethlehem. The movie that I was in was turned into
the movie, the show.
The movie, the show was turned into a 5-4-5 part five, right? I don't know.
I've watched it once.
Web series, and it blew up. We've garnered a ton of awards for it. A lot of praise for all
Webby.
Of the. Yeah, we got a Webby. Mm-hmm. We got all of the really great praises for the performances, which is flattering because I'm not an actor.
You got drawn as a Simpsons character. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we were Simpsonized, which was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Partially
Matt
celebrating
Groening himself.
Yeah, he came in and for real. I mean, for nothing. Like for fucking just bread scraps,
right?
And meat hunks.
Bread scraps and meat hunks. Matt Groening story,
right? But yeah, there's just recently talk of a sequel, which would be a different time of year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would be fine playing that character again.
Sure.
It was a lot
it's
of fun.
It's basically you in real life. I mean,
thank you. Yeah. Just drunk, mean-spirited piece of shit.
Yep.
Yeah. None of the things that can really describe me anymore, I hope.
Right.
But yeah, it's been kind of crazy. Michael, who plays my brother and directed it, and I kind of wrote a pilot for what it would be as like a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's a little different, and I'm not really sure what is going to become of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also working on another project that kind of got really big over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And trying not to jinx, but I just hope that... so far it looks like 2017 is going to be a better year. So.
Yeah. The world needs it, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. What is wrong with this year?
Mm-hmm.
It's been... Yours was good, right? Was yours a bad year?
It wasn't bad for me personally, no.
But just a bad year.
I mean, yeah. I see, here's the thing. And this is... blasphemy, but I'm a blasphemous person, so whatever. The death of so many people this year did not bother me. I've never been a David Bowie fan, for instance, so it didn't really... I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
It's not like I don't like David Bowie. It's just when he dies, I'm like...
You weren't, like, super affected the way
right,
the other people
were. Right, and I didn't change my Facebook profile